Welcome back. You've got the Rational Revolution and The Who on Civic Media Radio Network. We're sitting down with Jeff Cabaservice. He did me a favor. He did a little tease that we call in the business about a clip we're going to talk about, because we're talking about redistricting and where truth is and all of this stuff. So I'm going to play the clip now, and then we're going to talk about this. So Conrad, hit it.
Census off year when you just redistricted in 2021?
Because we can. We have the votes. It's legal for us to do so. It's legal for us to draw the lines based on political performance. We have three Hispanic predominated districts in South Texas that we believe that we can carve out for Republican leadership in the United States Congress. It's going to be a good thing for Texas. I don't spend any time thinking about what happens in California or Illinois or New York. I'm here to protect Texas and ensure that our voices are heard.
So because you can, why should you, though?
Because it's good for our party, it's good for our state, and we need to ensure that Donald Trump's agenda continues to be enacted throughout his second term. And we as Republicans see this as the difference between Democrats trying to impeach President Trump again during the second half of his final term as President of the United States, or accomplishing the agenda that all the voters in Texas by a significant majority sent him to accomplish.
So you're doing this for President Trump?
We're doing this for Texas. President Trump doesn't call me. I don't think he has my phone number. But what I would submit to you is this is the best thing for Texas and its representation in the United States Congress.
And Ronald Reagan rolls over in his grave. So what do you make of this whole redistricting thing?
I mean, that's quite a clip.
Isn't it?
I mean, it's loathsome. That's the only word that comes to mind. Of course, you can see, by the way, that guy's eyes dart about as if he's a rat in a trap,
right?
That he knows very well that he is only doing this because Donald Trump, in effect, ordered the Republicans in Texas to find him five more seats so that he won't lose his majority in the House in the 2026 midterms. Nonetheless, you know, the other assumptions behind it are equally disturbing, which is that basically Democrats are illegitimate. They can't be represented because they're evil. It's in the best interest of Texas to have minimal or no Democratic representation. And that to the extent that Republicans in the legislature can manipulate the system to produce the outcome that they want, then that is a good thing. You know, again, America's always had dirty politics since the earliest days of the Republic. Gerrymander, after all, goes back to Eldridge Gerry, who invented this way of packing his own districts to ensure his reelection. But, you know, again, the best traditions of American political life, the norms on which our civic culture depend, all go in the opposite direction. So, you know, again, if I have any hope in here, it's that people are actually going to be revolted by this kind of naked partisan power play. And often what you find is that these attempts to re-gerrymander, especially out of cycle, can backfire on the party doing it because they've actually spread their forces too thin. And when there's the inevitable revolt against the party in power, they actually get swept out to an even greater extent than they might have otherwise.
What this feels to me, kind of, you know, when you watch the Republican Party and watch what they do, and, you know, I don't know. You have such a grasp of history and a grasp of worldly knowledge. What I see here is, I mean, it's almost Dear Leader-esque, where, you know, the truth is gone. This guy, they don't even hide it anymore. And it's everything that they do is to appease the Dear Leader. We have federal agencies typing in caps lock and emojis. And it's like the dumbing down of some incredible institutions. And like in history, is there any examples of like what's going on? Not great.
Well,
ones, I would
imagine. No, it's not great.
And
anytime,
right.
Anytime you do get a Dear Leader in power, it's not going to go all that great for the country involved. You know, it's funny you mentioned Reagan earlier, because I just 2 weeks ago was out at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum in California for a conference there. And as you walk through the front door, there's, you know, the picture of Ron looking handsome with the cowboy hat. But below there is a quote that says, words to the effect of, "I welcome all people here to come and look at the records that we are putting open to you. I'm not afraid of your judgment because I think we did the best we could and history will judge us well. And that attitude is so different from what we have here now in the Republican Party, which is that, you know, we're going to bend the rules and break them as much as we can to get what we want, because we don't want the judgment of history. We don't want the open and transparent judgment of the American people here, because we don't ultimately believe that we are doing anything that's truly popular. Because if there were, we would be open and transparent in the way that Ronald Reagan was open. We're just going to get 50 plus one. And if we can't get 50% plus one, then we're going to just bend the system so we never have to leave power. And, you know, it's tragic. I hope they don't get what they want, because that would be the end of, you know, the American tradition as we've known it.
Right. Like that was a big statement right there. It would be the end of the American tradition as we know it. Is there anyone on the right who can kind of like, all right, we gotta do better here?
You know, I've learned never to place an enormous amount of trust in the business community.
That's fair.
whether Lenin actually said it or not, there was some truth to the old adage that he was going to sell the capitalists the rope that he would then use to hang them. but the fact is, nice. If you're running a business right now, you might be the biggest Trump supporter in the world. But the fact is, you don't have reliable data anymore on which to base your business
right.
decisions, because Trump is monkeying with the Bureau of Labor Statistics and a whole bunch of other institutions that are supposed to provide objective statistics, not the ones that are pleasing to the dear leader. And Trump is also just doing things like tariffs that are an outright tax on the American people that Ronald Reagan warned us against, that said it would always lead to our destruction, that have in fact led to terrible American economic collapses, seemingly at every 100-year intervals. Like last time was Smoot-Hawley in 1930, and before that was the Tariff of Abominations in the early 19th century. It's almost like it takes 100 years for the lessons of these tariff disasters to wear off. But yeah, we're back in it again, and if there's any hope of bringing this Trumpian irrational revolution to a halt, it would actually be, I think, pushback from the business community and the bond market, especially going south.
Well, and yeah, you said that anybody that tells him different, he fires, that he doesn't like the jobs numbers. Okay, well, we're going to fire the person and we're not going to put those numbers out monthly. We shouldn't do that anyway. It should be, you know, every quarter. You know, he doesn't like the fact that interest rates aren't going down, which I do think they should. You know, go and fire the second in command and talk about, you know, like it's the emperor has no clothes.
You know, and ultimately, this isn't going to get us anywhere we want to go. You know, at the risk of using your show as a venue for jokes. The Soviet Union brought some pretty hard times. People needed black humor to get through. So the joke has it that Stalin, Khrushchev, and Brezhnev are on the train to communism, but it doesn't seem to be going anywhere very quickly. So Stalin has all the engineers shot. The train still doesn't seem to be going anywhere, so Khrushchev has them all posthumously rehabilitated. Still no movement, so then Brezhnev said, okay, let's put all the window shades down and pretend that we're moving. And that's the way these things go. If you're going to shoot the messenger, then eventually you're going to end up going in any kind of direction that you want to head.
So is that kind of where we're headed? Is that the, you know, is this, you know, Soviets... just damn the torpedoes, blah, blah, blah. I'm not listening to you. What's running our country right now?
You know, unfortunately, we're at the situation where the Democrats, as we've already discussed, have largely discredited their brand.
Yes.
And so people don't want to listen to them because they think that the Democrats are culturally way out on the limb and don't have the best interests of the country at heart. So people are going to vote for whatever the alternative is. And the alternative, unfortunately, is Donald Trump, who is both liberated from any kind of adult influence, because the so-called adults in the room are all gone from this administration, and also who's out for vengeance. And you heard in the comment of that Texas Republican legislator that this is just about vengeance. Democrats impeached President Trump in his first term. Now we're out to get them. And we're going to get them by taking away their seats in Congress, and we're going to get them by sending the FBI to the door of people we don't like, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. You know, how does it end? Well, in one scenario, the Democrats come into power and do just the same to the Republicans as they've been doing now. But I'd like to think that maybe after some of these experiments in irrationality, that we collectively as the American people will take a step back. We will remember that it actually is moderation and cooperation that has made us the global success story we've been for the past 80 years. that we ought to return to the formula that's brought us so much prosperity and success.
But and this redistricting civil war is really a concern too. You know, Texas is going to do their thing, and then Gavin Newsom, who is trolling, it's kind of funny, but you know, but it's funny, but not like that's not okay, because you do these districts, and the likelihood of them actually going back to that.
I'd put a broader point on this, which is that one party rule always tends toward disaster.
Yes.
Frankly, California was a much better place to be before Democrats took charge of everything, you know, holding every state office and supermajorities in the legislature. Now California is the most expensive, highest taxed place to be. It's just suffering in so many dimensions because it doesn't have the kind of reality check that Republicans used to provide in greater numbers. And typically what you'll find is that Republicans in blue states, just like Democrats in red states, tend to be the most moderate part of their party.
Yeah.
And you need that moderation, again, if you're going to actually address the real world as it actually is and find solutions that move us forward.
Well, and you have to have people that have the courage to have those hard discussions and stand up and, you know, and talk to the party and say, you need to pump the brakes here. Hey, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should tell, you know, the orange guy, dear leader, no, these are dumb ideas. You know, there's nobody that's doing that.
You know, there's a phrase from Goethe, the German philosopher, which is that unhappy is the land with a need for heroes. You know, I love it when heroes appear. You've been heroic in your own way, Mark. But if you're actually in a country and a time when you need people to be heroic like that, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
It's really much better if ordinary people do the right thing and the incentives are to do the right thing and the incentives actually operate in a way that everyone's better off by not doing this kind of self-destructive fratricide that we're seeing between Texas and California.
So we got a minute left here. What can people do if they see all of this and they want to get involved, but they don't know, you know, I mean, there's a lot. But like what can people do to be effective? I know,
You know, I'm not Little Miss Optimist here, right? But, you know, there was a time in my life when I studied the dissidents in Eastern Europe. And, you know, yes, these were people of unusual courage, but a lot of them were people you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And all they really decided to do was live their lives as if they lived in a democratic, rational country. And I think that's part of what we need to do, which is that if you feel the urge to do something really partisan and tribal, step back from that. Act as if you lived in a country where both sides get along. And hold your leaders to account to the extent that you can through the democratic process. And if you see people doing things that are just dirty, ask your neighbors, doesn't this just seem wrong to you? Isn't it go against the values of fair play that we believe in? You don't have to get up on a partisan high horse. Just say, this is wrong. And it's wrong wherever we see it, in whichever party it manifests.
So speak up is what you're saying. Jeff Cabaservis, thank you so, so, so very much for your time. It's always a pleasure catching up to you, even though it's dark, but appreciate it very much. Be well, and we'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.